Just heard a snippet of the latest single Capsize, the title track for the latest EP for the Canadian rock band Texas King. The band's latest EP Capsize, the band's biggest and boldest record yet. It's a story of reckoning, redemption, nostalgia, and hope that sees Texas King's follow-up from where their 2021 EP Changes left off. The five-track EP includes Texas King's current radio single, Whatever You Break, a driving power ballad which recently broke into the number 5 on the active rock charts and is the band's highest charting single to date. The song was produced by Brian Moncarz along with the EP's title track, Capsize and Rely on Me. Here to talk about touring on the North American tour with rock icons Big Wreck and their latest EP, Capsize, is Phil Spina, the bass player in the Canadian rock band Texas King. Hi, Phil. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Really good. Really good. So great to have you guys back on the show. I wanted to talk a little bit about your backstory in music and the influences that you have had growing up and wanting to become a musician yourself.
Yeah, so I was a young kid or a teenager in the early 2000s, I guess you could say. And I was born in the 90s, so growing up, here in Canada, Much Music was a pretty big source of discovering music and bands for me growing up. So bands like Green Day and Blink-182 and Sum 41, those big Much Music bands at the time, I'd say, were some of my really early influences. Mm-hmm. My dad was a musician prior to marrying and having kids, and he was a bass player. And I was always really drawn to the bass. So when I was maybe 10 years old, I asked him to teach me, he would show me a few things, and I would also, do a little bit of self-teaching, and then through that, he would share some of his favorite, classic rock bands like The Who and Led Zeppelin and all those classic rock bands that he was into. And then I eventually just once high school hit and I had been playing for a couple of years, started playing in bands with friends and eventually started playing some all ages shows around London where we live. And it kind of snowballed from there until I went to college for music industry arts, thinking I probably wanted to be a recording engineer or a producer or something. I sort of assumed that my playing in band days were done. It was, for fun in high school, but I wanted to have more of a career in it. And it was at college that we ended up, actually, funny enough, forming the band. And by the time we graduated, we decided to put I decided to not go try to get a job in a studio and to actually give it a go touring for real with Texas King. Mm-hmm. And here we are now, 10 years later. So that's kind of the
pretty
story.
Cool. For Marvin, didn't he come in from Pennsylvania? He was the only one, I think, that didn't go to college with you guys.
Right. Yeah, that's correct. So Melvin, our original drummer, was in college with us, and he left shortly after the band started touring. And Melvin, we happened to be playing a show, a festival, and down there, and Melvin was there with his band at the time. And, our band is from London. His band was from Cambridge, so very close, about an hour's drive. So when you're that far from home and you meet another band who's essentially from the same town you are, we were just, you know, hitting it off and we were hanging out. We got introduced by a mutual friend. And it was not long after that that they were playing, his band was playing in London. So Jordan, our singer, and I went out to see them. This is maybe like a month after we had met, and we were back in Canada, back at home. And we just like, Melvin like definitely stole the show. Like we, both Jordan and I were just standing side stage, just watching him the whole time. He was such a captivating and amazing drummer. And then some time went by and our drummer at the time ended up kind of being on his way out, it turned out, and we needed a guy to fill in for our Canadian tour, our first like real big Canadian tour. This would have been in about 2017. And so we called Melvin. At the time, it was a temporary, like a hired gun scenario, because we didn't really know what was going to happen with our current drummer at the time. Melvin did the tour. It was about 6 weeks long. And by the time the tour was done, it was pretty apparent that our old drummer wasn't coming back. And Melvin had done such a good job and clicked with us. We had just lived in a van with the guy for 6 weeks. So we knew, you know, we got along the band, because his old band had dissolved at that point. So he was kind of looking for something to step into. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the rest is history. It worked out really well.
It's kind of cool when you look back at how the band first started, because Jordan was playing acoustic and that's how everything started. And then he introduced people to that and creating the sound that you guys have. I know your sound anywhere, and you guys have really developed into one of the major bands here in Canada. How does that feel for you guys, knowing that you've put in the work for 10 years, you've really developed your sound? This new EP, the latest EP, Capsize, incredible, by the way. It is the best that you guys have done.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah,
it's
really great to hear you guys on radio. It really is, and representing rock music today. And you guys have really got something special.
Thank you. Yeah. People usually ask like how we developed our sound, or what were our influences, you know, that led to the way the band sounds. And it's a really hard thing whenever we get that question. I usually tell people that I think the way our band sounds, it's because I don't think there is one or two or three bands that were the majority influence on us. Like every member of the band comes from a different musical background, in some cases very different. Mm-hmm. And you know, or at least in terms of music we played in our like teen years and we're into now, obviously there's lots of bands we all you know, agree on, like, you know, that we all love, but we all played different things, quite vastly different when we were younger and kind of forming our own musical chops. So I think the way Texas King sounds is like a melting pot of all those things. It's whatever comes out, like at least now, the way Texas King sounds is what comes out when the three of us or four of us get into a room together. Mm-hmm. It's not solely, you know, solely Jordan, not solely my musical. Jordan comes with an idea or something and the rest of our lines, and then we play or add parts to it based on, you know, how it's cut with our own musical brain, based on our upbringing and influences. And then that, you know, influences what you end up writing and playing. Mm-hmm. And in turn, the sound of the band is kind of
that melting pot.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of it would just mainly be from when we were younger. 'Cause like I said, now everyone likes different music. A lot of it between the band members, there's certain bands that we all love. But in terms of in the past, you know, Melvin grew up playing in more like metal bands and hardcore bands when he was young. Myself, I guess it was a little bit more punk and pop punk stuff mixed in with some of that classic rock, those classic rock bands like that I mentioned earlier, from influence kind of from my dad. And Jordan, really early on in his childhood, like he got started actually playing drums at his dad's church, and then, you know, ended up getting into all kinds of music, you know, pop music, rock music, eventually playing guitar and doing singer-songwriter stuff when he was in high school, you know, just got, like solo acoustics, things like that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, now there's many bands that we all agree on and that we all love, but you know, those are sort of the one in our formative years for each of us, you know, they're quite different in terms of what we were all doing at those ages. And yeah, I like to think that that's part of it. That's part of why when the four of us get in a room that we sound the way we sound when we're writing music, you know, I think like I said, it's a melting pot of all those past experiences and musical tastes.
I think too, also from what I understand, you guys are creating a lot of bits and pieces to the songs in sound checks.
Yeah. A lot of the times that is where ideas will start. Not always, but I'd say a fair amount of songs that end up, at least in the past few years, that have ended up on records for us, have spawned in soundcheck. Our song, actually, funny enough, our song, like the lead single off of Capsize, Whatever You Break, that is a song that the genesis of that was at a soundcheck, and for a long time, it was just a voice note that lived on somebody's phone, and it was just called. A lot of our songs end up just be the working titles just end up being names of cities, because that's where we would like the song idea would start. So we it was a sound check in Rochester, New York, and so we kind of were jamming on the idea at the tail end of a sound check. We had like, you know, 10 extra minutes before we had to be off stage, and the levels were set, so we were just messing around jamming. I think Jordan started playing that chord progression. We all just fell in, and I think Melvin hit just record on his phone, so we didn't lose the idea. And so we had this voice note kicking around that was called Rochester. And when it came time to putting together songs for Capsize, we came across that voice note and just, you know, had to relearn how to play it. First of all, because everyone had forgotten about that song, that or that little idea that happened 5 minutes one day, like, you know, a year ago at the time. And yeah, so we just sort of flushed it out better, and that song ended up becoming Whatever You Break, and that song ended up being the first single, and to this date, our you know, our highest charting single at radio. So it's kind of funny how those things work, and there's been a few scenarios like that.
It's nice when you're seeing, when you're just playing, you're not trying to, you know, come up with the next hit single, like, you know, on radio, you're playing for the love of playing. And
for sure.
Those songs are created from those moments. And you guys have done that so well. This song is so cool. We're going to be playing this one right now again, another fan favorite. So we're going to play Whatever You Break by Canadian rock band Texas King here on Music's Journey.
All that I remember, you and me, we were always fighting. You made a garden, cause you know, yeah, you know what you needed. I've been in the front yard, you come around with those roofless eyes, and I knew what it started. Follow me if you wanna see me angry. I tried to stay out of outer space and figure out what I need on my way back down. White flags for me, so I'm
That was the power ballad, Whatever You Break, off the latest EP, Capsize, by my very special guest and one of my favorite Canadian rock bands on radio today, and that's Texas King. You guys have really done something special with this EP. When you look back at Circle and, you know, Change and a lot of the earlier stuff that you guys have put out there, what has been the biggest thing that you have noticed that has changed for Texas King and the sound moving forward?
I think that we've, if I have to look back and sort of self-critique it, I think that as time has gone on, the songs have become better and more concise. Mm-hmm. Even though there are a lot of songs I still love off of our old releases, like off of Circles, for example, like you mentioned. But I think looking back now, listening to that record, there's a couple songs on it that have stood the test of time and we still play in our set to this day. Mm-hmm. But there's also other ones on there where you can, to me, I can hear that it was a band experimenting, still finding its footing, you know, playing different types of songs. And I think you can kind of hear on that record, what songs we really continued down the path of, you know, the songs in that vein, and what songs were kind of a fun thing, a fun experiment, and, you know, we maybe didn't necessarily continue on down that path. We sort of moved away from that. So when I listen to our newer stuff in comparison, I do feel like it's more concise. I feel like it sounds a little more like what the best elements of Texas King are, like all the things that most people seem to like our bands because mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. the big choruses, the kind of catchy melody, almost like pop sensibilities, but dressed up in like a rock band kind of outfit. Mm-hmm. I think that our last couple, like Capsize and even Changes, have captured those things, you know, better. And I think we just really leaned into that aspect of our band, because at the end of the day, I think it's that handful of traits that is what sets us apart, mm-hmm. or makes us a little bit unique, and what most people remember our bands as. And then the last thing I'll mention too is like keeping in the live show in mind more and more. And as the years have gone on and we've toured more and been able to play a range of rooms, from small clubs to big theaters, like we just played a big theater last night with Big Rec, and you know, the keeping the live show always in mind is something we do a lot more now, just because touring is a bigger part of our life than it was in, say, 2016. Mm-hmm. And so you get to, the more you tour, you get to see what songs go over well in a club, and oh, maybe we should have this bridge where there's a really cool part that this is going to go over so well live, because we can get the crowd to do a call and response part, or we can build in this cool extended bridge for live in this song. And sometimes we're even thinking about that as where you're writing for the next record, is keeping the live show in mind and how we can make it engaging, and almost keeping the audience in mind as almost like another member of the band sometimes for like the live shows.
Mm-hmm. Well, because it creates that longevity, you know, for a band when they've been out there playing, you know, different locations, playing as many shows as they can. You really learn who your audience is. You pick up an awful lot of new fans when you're playing live. You know, is staying relevant and evolving as you go. And I think that's really helped, you know, in the sound. But you guys got a phenomenal live show. You have a really incredible live show. And I'm really hoping that the fans get out there to see you guys play these 19 shows with Big Rec, because, man, it's going to be a killer experience for you guys.
Thank you. Yeah. We love those guys. We did a real big long tour with them around North America in 2019. So we're happy to be back out with the Big Rec crew. And yeah, we just try to go out and have fun every night on stage, whether it's a headlining show for us or whether it's like this current tour where we're just the support band playing before the headliner. We just try to, you know, make it a party, give it, you know, as much energy as we can. And usually, you know, one of two things happens. Either people stand there and just take it all in, and if they're seeing the band for the first time, you just sort of hope that it converts them into fans of our band, and then the next time we roll through town, they'll come out to see us play, you know, if we're headlining in a club. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing, you know, when you put out energy on stage, it's oftentimes a cycle. Like if you're high energy on stage, that gets the crowd amped up, and then the crowd gives that energy back to you usually. And when we see the crowd getting amped up and giving that energy to us, it gets in turn, you know, us more excited, and it tends to fuel us more, and it ends up kind of bouncing back and forth. So once we usually like to initiate it, but then if the crowd's receptive, it's really easy to stay high energy and put on a show like that, because, you know, you're riding off adrenaline.
Exactly. You're feeding off of the energy for the audience. And yeah, it's pretty cool. You guys have, like as I said, a phenomenal, phenomenal show. And I really hope that the fans get out there and be able to see these dates that you guys got for the 19 show dates for the Canadian portion of this tour. And Big Rec, obviously, they're just, you know, top of the top right now in Canada, and have been for a number of years.
And great guys and great crew too. They've always been good to us in the past. And nice guys, nice crew. They take care of us. So
absolutely. Let's talk about the next song that we're going to be playing here, and that's Memory. Tell us about the writing for that track.
So Memory was, I think it was one of the last songs we wrote for Capsize. It came together very quickly at the end, right before we were entering the studio. It's a song that that song in particular was produced by Matt Snell and Pete Van Helvert. The EP has two different sets of producers. Mm-hmm. Some of the songs were produced by Brian Monkars. Some of the songs were by Pete and Matt. So that was a song that Pete and Matt produced. And from what I can remember about writing that song was, we were in an airport flying home from Vancouver. We had a summer festival, just a one-off date in Vancouver. And so we'd flown in, and we were in the airport on our way home, flying home out of Vancouver. And we were just hanging out, waiting for the flight, having a beer. And our old guitarist at the time, Colin, was talking. He was telling a story. And he happened to say, in the story, he's like, oh, you know, my memory escapes me, but, you know, blah, 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 I think happened or something. Mm-hmm. And Jordan's sitting there, I think that line kind of just like perked up, and I guess it kind of went in his head, and he started essentially like kind of humming or making up lyrics to the chorus, like right there at the table while we're having a beer. And we just, like, again, like I kind of mentioned earlier, we just turned on a voice note so that we wouldn't forget it. And that's kind of where the idea of that chorus line and the chorus melody actually started. It was just in an airport. And then when we got home, and, you know, like it was like a week later, we actually got into a room and brought up that idea, that song idea, and fleshed it out and kind of turned it into the song that you hear now.
Pretty damn cool. And a lot of the fans can really relate to, because they can attach their lives, you know, to the songs that you guys put out. And I think that's a big change too. You know, everybody can relate in some form and apply that to their own life. So it's such a great song. We're going to play this one right now. Here is Memory by my very special guest, Canadian rock band Texas King, here on Music's Journey.
We stayed out way back. Should stay out of the shadows on the wall. Maybe I try. Started to get better, then in time, I started doing the shit all over again. It makes me wild. Then you
That was Memory, the third track on the latest EP, capsized by my very special guest, Canadian rock band Texas King. Like you had mentioned earlier, Phil, you were talking about working with different producers. You know, I know that Brian Moncars, he did, I think, Whatever You Break as well as Capsize and Rely on Me, right?
That's right, yeah, yep.
So what has it been like working with different producers? Because they have a different way of what their vision is and how they go about producing songs and EPs.
Yeah, so over the years we've had the opportunity to work with a few different ones, and you're definitely right when you say that every producer has a different approach and has a different style. You know, there are the producers that are very hands off and are more of the mindset of letting the band be the band, and they don't really get in the way. They're just there to maybe get the best takes out of you in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the producers that are the opposite of that and are very hands on, and everything is under a microscope, and they want the song to be the best it can be. And if that means coming to you and telling you, I think you need to rewrite the bridge, or it takes you too long, like this chorus, you know, I'm bored, you gotta get to the chorus sooner, or hey, Jordan, what's that lyric you're writing? Like, as an outsider, you know, it doesn't quite make sense, you need more clarity. So there's like kind of two, and there's everything in between there, obviously. And we've worked with producers of all those varying degrees. But it's something that is super valuable because, you know, when you're working on songs for weeks or months, you know, before you enter the studio, you're writing stuff. Maybe you need 10 songs for a record, but, you know, we're writing maybe 12 to 15 and then 10 actually make the record. So we're very close to it, and we're a little too close. It's really valuable to have a producer come in and be the outside ear, like listen to all the songs with fresh ears, be someone who's not attached to it in the same way that we are.
Mm-hmm.
And be able to give us perspective that sometimes it's a perspective we couldn't see or we didn't realize because we're too close to the project,
right?
And you know, it's a part that's like, oh, we think this part's awesome, and you know, the producer comes in as an outsider in a way, and it gives us the feedback that maybe we can't see but we need to hear. That's what a lot of times where pre-production comes into play. It's nice to get, if you can get together with a producer before you enter the studio and punch up the songs, make any changes you need to, and then, you know, when you enter the studio, it's go time. You know what you're doing, you know what you're recording. Capsize wasn't necessarily like that with Brian, just because of the scheduling. We didn't have a lot of time, so we were kind of doing pre-production on the fly while we were in the studio. So basically with Brian, those three songs every day, we did that record with the Brian songs, at least, at the Bath House in Bath, Ontario, the Tragically Hips studio.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And mm-hmm. So it was an awesome vibe. We got to stay there for I think 3 or 4 days and work on the songs with Brian. But because of the scheduling, we weren't able to get together beforehand. So every day we would just work on one of the songs.
Mm-hmm.
And we would start with the demo that we had presented to Brian, and we would spend the morning just playing it in the live room, and Brian would sit out there and he would give us some notes or some feedback or some suggestions, or hey, why don't you guys try something like this in the chorus. And then usually after a morning of that, we would have the song in a pretty good spot, and the afternoon was basically recording it, recording the bulk of them at least.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other songs that we did with Matt and Pete, we had a little bit more time for home and memory. And so that one was the more traditional pre-production setup where we would get together for a couple of days prior, just in a rehearsal space. They came with notes and, you know, we were able to punch up the tunes, make any necessary changes before we entered the studio. So, yeah, you never really know. Every record's a little different.
Mm-hmm. Got to be cool for you when that was originally what your interest, where you thought, you know, you were going to be going in the next stage of your musical career, you know, on the engineering end of it and producing end of it, just to be able to get into these different studios and that different approach that they all have.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm always a little bit nerdy about that end of things just because it was something that I potentially was looking at doing as a career. I was out of high school, or actually in high school, I did a co-op and an internship at a recording studio at EMAC here in London. And that's kind of what opened my eyes to what being in a big professional recording studio was like. And you know, I growing up, I would be the one that would record demos of, you know, my high school band and things like that. So Even to this day, whenever we're recording demos, preparing for a record, you know, I'm the one that handles a lot of the recording and mixing of the preparation before we hand it off to a producer. So it's always really fun for me to be in the studio because not only am I, you know, get to be in the band that's recording and making, you know, bringing the new tunes to life, but then I also get to sort of nerd out a little bit and just really genuinely enjoy being in that environment.
I understand. This I understand. It's cool because when you look at the bands, you know, that have done so well over the years, they end up like Tragically Hip having a studio and working behind the scenes with other bands. And, you know, that's a big part of a career, right? And where this band, you know, can really make a difference for the future generation for rock music, because you guys are doing that. You are doing it right now.
Oh, thank you.
Let's talk about the next song. We're going to be talking about the next track, and it's called Rely on Me. Tell me a little bit about the writing for this one.
That one started in our jam room, and I think we wrote some of these songs so quickly and so close to the time when we were recording the demos of that it's a little bit blurry to me, but I'm pretty sure that Rely on Me was a song that came about very quickly with the three of us, Jordan, Melvin, and I, in a room, in our jam room. And I think maybe Jordan just started playing the chord progression. Mm-hmm. And as a lot of our songs happen, like Melvin and I just kind of pick up and we started jamming an idea. And then in the room together between the three of us, we kind of formulated the next parts to follow. Jordan started singing a melody on it and we just recorded a super, super rough version of it. It came together, like I said, very quick. I want to say within 10 minutes, we had, you know, 85% of how the song ended up being, we kind of had. And then Jordan went home with that really rough live demo that we recorded just on our phone, and he wrote lyrics and everything to it. So a lot of times when songs are developing, he'll have a melody will come to mind and maybe a couple of lyrics or some words, but then, you know, some of the words it's almost like they're placeholder, you know, or it's almost like mumble, like the shapes of words are there, but he hasn't actually obviously written the lyrics. It's all coming
right
as we're writing. So then he'll take that and maybe use that melody that he was kind of singing over it, and he'll go and actually like pen proper lyrics. And then we got together when it came time to actually record like proper demos to send to producers. He had come with lyrics for that one, and we just we recorded it better for the demo. But to be honest, not that much of Rely on Me really changed from that like initial 10 minutes when the song was created, minus the lyrics. And I think we in the studio, we got to mess around with some drum sounds in the bridge and stuff like that. But that just, you know, production things that happen when you have the luxury of time to record it for real. But in terms of the song structure and the melodies and stuff like that, it was very fast.
Very cool song. We're going to play this one right now. Here is Rely on Me by Canadian rock band Texas King here on Music's Journey. Was Rely on Me off the latest EP Capsized by my very special guest Texas King. As I said before at the top of the show, this is your best work yet.
Thank you. I mean, we like to feel that way as well, but like I said earlier, when you're close to a project, you're a little biased. every musician always thinks that their most recent work is the best thing they've ever done. And that's not always true. So it means a lot to hear that from someone listening from the other side.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the fans agree too. You guys are one of the most requested bands that I play when I'm.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So, you know, and I understand why, because I've seen you live. You guys are phenomenal. I'm going to be seeing you on your December, I think it's 22nd. That's the Toronto show.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So I'll be coming out to see you guys there. Talk about the landscape of music with social media that has changed so much, obviously, you know, since COVID too, but the bands, you know, looking at the opportunity today, but also it has its downsides too. So there's so much choice for people when they're on their streaming platforms right now. What do you think the success has been for you guys with all of this change that's happened since COVID?
Well, COVID was, I mean, for everybody, obviously, was, especially in the music industry, I guess I'm talking, was quite a speed bump, because I like to think going into COVID, we had a bit of momentum. Like, that was, at the time, our song Chandelier was getting a fair amount of love at radio, and that was, at that time, the best performing single we had. We had also, funny enough, at that point, just come off a 3-month North American tour with Big Wreck, like we talked about earlier. And there was a lot of, I feel like that's a point in our career that really felt like things were starting to happen at another level. And then flash forward 2 months after that tour ended, or 3 months, whatever it was, and obviously everything had shut down and we couldn't tour, and any, you know, labels weren't really into signing bands at that point, obviously, because no one knew when the music industry would be able to, or at least a live portion of the music industry would be able to start back up again. Mm-hmm. And it definitely felt like a speed bump. I know we're not the only band that felt that. So I don't know. I think since then, all we could really do was put our head down and use that time to be creative and try to write music, so that I remember thinking, you know, if and when everything does go back to normal, we wanted to come out of the gates, you know, swinging. We didn't want to be like, okay, live music is back, now let's go into the studio and record a record. So we spent a lot of pandemic putting together and recording the songs that would be on our EP Changes, and we recorded that during the pandemic as well. And thankfully, I think that EP was a real step up for the band based on some of our previous stuff. Mm-hmm. And when everything thankfully started to regain a sense of normalcy, we were able to go out on tour to support that EP, and it was pretty well received. And it's just been great. It kind of opened the door to allow us to get back in the studio quickly, because we didn't want to have a big long lag time before putting out another release. So we did a bit of touring on Changes. It seemed to be well received, and we were able to get a little bit of that excitement back in the band. And so we wanted to waste no time getting back in to record what would end up being Capsize.
Mm-hmm. I know that a lot of the bands that I interview, a lot of them go over to Detroit and to catch, you know, the different music scenes that are going on over there. Do you guys get any influence by doing that?
It's hard to say. I don't know if we see any like direct influences of that. Mm-hmm. But definitely, it's just a different beast when you're a Canadian band and you go over and you play shows down there. It's a well-known thing that a lot of Canadian bands struggle when you go south of the border.
For sure.
Yeah. I would say that for us, it's a market that we are working on breaking into, and that we have just played less shows there. So it's something that is always it's a grind, but it's also a bit of a thrill to get to go down there, because it almost is like exciting in a way where it feels like our band rewind, you know, a few years when we were struggling maybe more in Canada. It's kind of like that, except we're in like new places. So mm-hmm. Yeah, touring Canada is amazing, and we love it. But at this point, we've played a lot of the cities many, many times, whereas there's still parts of the U.S., even parts on this particular tour we're on right now, there's a few cities that we actually haven't even played before. So nice. Although we don't have a following there, or much, we have some people that will hit us online, you know, that have discovered our music through things like Spotify or YouTube and are waiting for us to come. Generally speaking, we don't have the same amount of a following that we would in Canada. So it's kind of exciting a little bit to go, you know, play these new places we haven't been to, and try to win people over. And it's very gratifying when that happens and we do come back through town, like that particular city, and, oh, you know, maybe there was only 5 people that were here that knew our band last time because we were opening for a bigger band. But now, you know, we did our job well and won some people over, and now we come through headlining and there's 50 people here that bought tickets to see us headline, because, you know, and that's just like, that's gratifying. That gives you the fuel and the positive reinforcement to keep doing that.
I'm excited for you guys and what you guys are capable of doing, because where you're at now is just a, you know, phenomenal evolution, you know, when it comes to this band over the last 10 years. And now, you know, with this show in particular, because we do air a lot in the States and the UK and all over the world. So that's why I wanted to play this entire EP. So just to give them a taste of who exactly Texas King is. Huge fan, and you guys are absolutely phenomenal. Let's talk about the fourth track on this one. Let's talk about Home.
Sure, yeah. Home was a song that largely Jordan brought to the table. I think he came with pretty much it, at least like a version of it that he played for us on guitar. And he had, by the time he brought it to Melvin and I, I'm pretty sure pretty much all the lyrics were written, or at least like 90% of them. So that was one that I would say a little bit less came about in the way of, you know, like I was talking about earlier, a lot of songs start with us in a jam room. Someone plays an idea. Someone has an idea. They play it. It captures the attention of the rest of us, and we kind of fall in and record a demo of it. This one was more, Jordan was like, hey, check out this song idea I have. And he had obviously been playing it maybe on an acoustic guitar or something on his own at home. And he brought it, he kind of brought it to the table, relatively fleshed out. So all that was left at that point was for Melvin and I to kind of maybe help arrange a little bit, add bass parts, drum parts. And then when we got together with Pete Van Helvert and Matt Snell, who were the producers on it, we made some structural changes in pre-production, you know, shortening parts, changing some lyrics, whatever may have happened. Because Jordan had done a lot of the legwork on that particular song beforehand, musically it came together relatively fast. I think the one on that's probably the song I would say that changed the most in terms of arrangement. Mm-hmm. I think our original demo of it was a little bit longer and more spacey, and that's one thing that Pete and Matt did a really good job of coming into, and still giving it, making sure it had the vibe and integrity that our original demo had, but they helped us just refine it a little bit and make it a little bit more concise. And I'm just like, when I listen to it now, it even though the changes that they made were relatively small, they were impactful changes. And I think it's definitely become a fan favorite. I think even though that one's not necessarily it was never a commercial radio single, mm-hmm. It's one that we did release ahead of the EP coming out, and we got to do this Sportsnet Toronto Blue Jays got to use it for a little ad thing they did on Canada Day, kind of, you know, accenting Home and all the Canadian baseball players that play in the MLB. So that song has, funny enough, connected with a lot of people, potentially more so than even some of the quote unquote singles off of that mm-hmm. EP.
Well, the nostalgia too, when everybody's looking at that title and what the song represents, people can relate. And so it's going to hit home, like the song says, like the title for the song, in a lot of different ways. We're going to play this one right now. Here is Home by Canadian rock band Texas King here on Music's Journey.
Silver lining is that you made it and you ain't dead yet. Can count in one hand all the names that I don't forget. I swear I'm trying, but I just can't get there yet. Let me come on, let me come on, let me come on. Thank you.
That was Home off the latest EP, Capsized, by my very special guest, Canadian rock band Texas King. You guys had a music video for this one too. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so that the music video for Home was basically compiled just from some studio footage that one of our videographer, Nick Charlebois, who does a lot of our video content, he tagged along when we went to the bathhouse to record a bunch of songs with Brian Moncars for it. And so for Home, we just wanted to put together something that was a little bit of a, I guess, a behind the scenes of making the EP. And then he kind of spliced in towards the end some clips of live shows that we were doing. We were in the middle of a tour at that point. And so there was some footage he had of, or actually that our buddy Leo, who was on tour with us at the time, had and sent to him to use at the end. And I think the idea of that was sort of to show the work that goes in beforehand, you know, getting in the studio, all the recording and stuff, and then showing getting to, you know, the record's out, and then you go out on the road and you finally get to tour the songs and bring these songs to life for the people.
I always enjoy, you know, seeing everything that you guys are doing, and the music videos just go right along with that. It really taps into who you guys are, and I love that. Let's talk about the title track, Capsize. And we talked a little bit at the beginning of the show there, but let's talk about this particular track.
Capsize was a song that we had. Our old guitarist, funny enough, he actually had the idea for that song. He brought it. He kind of had some of the lyrics in the first verse, and he had the verse chord progression. And so that was a song he brought to the table, and we ended up, that one I think went through a couple of small changes, some, you know, key changes and things like that. But that was one that was the four of us, one of those ones, four of us in a jam room. Someone brought an idea to the table. You know, Jordan really was, I think, he really liked the little bit that Colin had written. Mm-hmm. And I think it inspired him to take it, write, you know, finish writing the verse lyrics, and Jordan obviously wrote the great chorus that's on that song. So that one is probably the most collaborative effort, I would say, in terms, at least lyrically, because most usually Jordan is the sole lyricist, but occasionally there are some other lyrical contributions, and that is one where there is a few lyrics in the first verse that actually started from Colin. So, but it's one that, it was one of the ones that I think when we wrote that song, I think we all knew that was going to be one of the ones that made the record or made the EP. Mm-hmm. Cause like I said, some songs end up getting cut in the process, but I think that's was probably one of the first songs that, when that one was written, I think it helped shape the EP. I think when that one was written, we were like, you know, this is starting to have a more clear vision of what we want the next batch of songs to be, you know, something in this vein.
Very cool. I love this one. We're going to play this one right now. Here is the title track, Capsize, by Canadian rock band Texas King, here on Music Street. The title track for the latest EP by my very special guest, Canadian rock band Texas King, and that was Capsize Man. Killer EP. So don't forget, you can download your copy of Capsize on all streaming platforms. You can share it, and you can also request any of the songs that you've heard off the EP Capsize at your favorite local rock station. Congratulations. What a phenomenal killer EP. Love it. Every single song on this EP.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations on this tour. You just started last night, and that was Hamilton. And you are off to London tonight. And
yep, so, yeah, hometown show for us.
Which is amazing. That's going to be so cool, you know, to see the fan base right there singing back to you and knowing the lyrics just as well as you do.
Yeah, exactly.
So are you excited about this tour, the rest of this leg of the tour?
Yeah, absolutely. Getting to go play, you know, on a tour like this, we get to play nice theaters and big rooms. Being a support band, being lucky enough to go out with a band like Big Wreck, who have been around for a long time and have the fan base that we get to go play in beautiful rooms, is always a treat. And that's kind of the cool thing about our band right now, is that we get to play small clubs, we get to play, have opportunities to play festivals, we get to play nice theaters and music halls and everything that might fall in between there. So mm-hmm. the variety is actually really nice, because there's things about each of those environments that are a lot of fun. And the fact that we don't just have to, you know, our touring year usually consists of a healthy mix of all those things. And every time you get to change up, you go from the club tour to going and getting to play outside, you know, festival season, that's a really nice and welcome change. And, you know, time festival season's done and now we're going out, you know, on this tour, playing nice venues bigger than clubs, you know, that's also a really cool change of pace. And this tour is taking us through the U.S., which is always fun, and even hitting a few cities down there, like I mentioned earlier, that we haven't even been to before. So yeah, to answer your question, very much looking forward to it.
Pretty stoked, I would imagine everybody is. Are you guys playing any new music for the fans that might be coming out?
We will probably be throwing in a couple. Right now, we're doing a cover in the set, which is relatively new, that we just sort of put our own spin on a pop song. That seemed to be pretty well received last night. And as the tour goes on, we probably will start sprinkling in some new music. We have been working on songs for a full-length record, which we're probably going to be recording early 2024. Mm-hmm. So that'll be released sometime next year. And we do always like to road test a couple tunes, get them under our fingers and in front of a live audience before we hit the studio. So
right.
Some of them are still a work in progress, but like we talked earlier about, like, sound checks, a lot of the times we have a bit of extra time we'll use to jam or write new ideas or whatever. I think we'll likely end up playing and rehearsing some of those new song ideas this tour during sound checks, and if all goes well, if we get them up to snuff in time, then maybe towards the last half of the tour we might even sprinkle some new ones in there. We'll just have to see.
I'm looking forward to seeing you guys when you guys wrap and circle back around to Toronto on December 22nd. So maybe I can come in and do a live interview with you guys and the rest of the band. It would be pretty cool.
That would be awesome. Yeah, I love that.
Looking forward to it, and congratulations on all the success of this EP and this tour and everything that you guys have been putting out there. You guys are phenomenal, and we love you at Rock Radio.
Oh, thank you very much. I really appreciate the time and the support, and yeah, thank you for taking the time to play our music and talk to me, and yeah, all the support for our band.
Safe travels to everybody, and all the success.
Thank you very much. We'll see you soon.
Okay, take care. All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
A great big thank you to my very special guest, Texas King, for coming on the show. We have some great shows coming up. I will be interviewing American singer-songwriter Scotty Emmerich, Megan Patrick, Mackenzie Porter, Griffin Palmer, Antonio LaRosso, Jason Blaine. We've got Brian John Harwood, Devin Cooper, Jesse T, Runaway Angel, Dan Davidson, the Canadian Tenors. We've got Michelle Wright, Elise Saunders, Katie Topham, Jamie Warren. We also have Rock Hall of Famers Lighthouse, and so much more. Don't forget, you can catch all the shows that you don't want to miss at musicsjourney.com. You can also check out all the articles, new releases, and reviews at nowandthenmagazine.com. Well, that's it for me, your host, Kim Sear. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Music's Journey show, and have yourselves a wonderful day. I will catch you here next time on Music's Journey.